I will call this meeting of the Transportation Finance and Policy Committee to order. We have a quorum present. Today is Thursday, March 21st. All of our hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. So we have minutes from March 19th. Representative Petersburg, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have had a chance to read them. I didn't see anything out of place, so I would move the minutes of March 19th.
Minutes removed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails. So today we have one bill, the Transportation Policy Bill for 2024. And we hope to get through the bill and all the amendments by 10. That is our deadline, because another committee will be coming in at 10:10. And so any presenters, please keep your comments to the point. We'll limit testifiers to about 3 minutes, if that's okay. And so this bill is House File 3436, and Vice Chair Tabke is the author. Vice Chair Tabke, you're moving that House File 3436 be referred to the General Register. And we have several amendments, and the first one is a DE amendment. So Representative Tabke, do you want to explain the DE one?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. So as we talk, we're retaking up 3436 today as a vehicle for a policy omnibus bill. And in this, what we intend to get to today is in the DE are bills that we have had previously gone through committee and had been adopted, and then secondly, we'll be going through amendments to the DE on things that have been requested since that are other bills that have not been heard in committee that we would like to add into here. And so just want to make sure everybody knows what the DE has in it currently is House File 1600, which is State Trooper Bargaining Bill, House File 2364, which is Propane Transport, age lowered 3436 as MnDOT policy and fixes. 3467 is MnDOT and permission to promote rail. Then also 3798, rail incident reporting 911 from Representative Brand. 4104, leased motor vehicle, my bill. Then we've got 4168, speed limit conformity from Representative Ream. 4350, rotable aircraft from Representative Petersburg, also known as the flying car bill. Then 4368, DPS policy. 4369, DVS policy. 4649, Representative Sensor Mira's child safety restraints. 4652, crash reporting for also from Representative Sensor Mira. So those are the bills that are currently in the DE, and we'll continue to talk through them via amendment as it moves forward, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions about the DE amendment for Vice Chair Tad? All right. Well, let's take up the DE one. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails. So we'll start our process with amendments at this juncture. The first one is the A24. Vice Chair Tabke, would you like to explain the A24?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. House File 1600 is the A24 amendment, and we passed this through transportation last year and got it to the House floor. And what this bill does is allows and makes sure that as MMB is bargaining with the MLE, so the MLEA, the Troopers Association, and other law enforcement bargaining units, that they are taking into consideration a study that is done on other law enforcement divisions and making sure that it's comparable for pay moving forward. And so there was some contention between MMB and the language that we had last year that was moving forward. And so we've worked since then with MMB and the Troopers Association and other folks to get compromise language that everyone is on board with. So this will make sure that our state troopers and other folks in that bargaining unit are paid appropriately and on par with other law enforcement folks across the state. So it's a good bill there.
Okay. Is there discussion to the A24 amendment? Okay, seeing none, let's vote on that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, the motion prevails. We have adopted the A24 amendment. Vice Chair Tapke, would you like to move and explain the A10?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. The A10 amendment is a bill from Representative Bierman, and so this one is the House File 4587, and so it's a bill that right now insurance has the ability to have an eight-hour course that is for seniors to take and make sure that they get a refresher on how driving on driving and making sure that everybody is safer in their older years. And so what this does is allows AARP to do a four-hour course instead of the eight-hour course. And so this is a this bill also has a stop in commerce that will happen before this gets to the floor. So it's got two stops, and so we want to make sure to have it in here via amendment, and it will also get heard in commerce. And so this is also another great thing to include, Mr. Chair.
And are there any questions? We also have Representative Bierman here as well. If people have any questions directly to the author of the underlying provision.
Just really quick here. So currently the course is 8 hours, and I'm assuming that that has been established by the Commissioner of Public Safety, whereas this amendment would change it to 4 hours. Is that, and we're getting rid of their authority to do that and then changing it to 4 hours? Do we know, is this AARP that's asking for this because they want a condensed program to not expend so many senior hours?
Mr. Chair and Representative Olson, so yes, this is, it is, there are many other states that do this four-hour course, and so they're seeing significantly higher participation by seniors in this course at a four-hour level than an eight-hour level.
Correct. Thank you for the question. Representative Elkins.
Yeah, just real quick, to also to that point, I've attempted to get through the eight-hour version of the class, and ultimately gave up before completing it because it just went on and on and on.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, we have a real real live example. Okay. Any other questions or personal experiences? Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to clarify just the age range. So AARP has different benefit ranges for ages. What age range is this for? When do you require? Is it 65?
55. Mr. Chair and Representative, I believe it's 55, but I'm not sure on that. Representative Petersburg is nodding his head over there, so I'm going to go with 55.
All right. Any other questions, comments? Okay, so this is the A10 amendment. We're going to vote to incorporate that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. The A10 is adopted. Okay, we're going to go now to the A26 amendment. Have that in their packets?
I do not have the 826.
Oh, it's toward the end. Sorry, these are a little out of order.
It is towards the back.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. Oh! I think we know what this is about. Representative Petersburg.
The technical.
Okay. Mr. Did you want to explain this, or should you have Mr. Burris?
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, the 826 amendment contains some technical clarifications that were to resolve various issues that were highlighted in a further review of the DE amendment.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm always grateful to have Matt Burris on our team, because if you want something to be cleaned up and clarified, he's the one that oversees it. He has the experience, and so I appreciate him doing that. Thank you.
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, appreciate that. Credit where credit is due. This one is stuff from the revisor's office, so I just can't take credit on it.
Do you want to revise your compliment to the revisor?
No, I still believe in it.
Okay.
Kevin Bear is pretty good, too.
Are there questions on the 826? All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. Okay. All right. We're doing... we have an A30 amendment, which is new, and that is a removal of the underlying House File 2717.
Mr. Chair, we have two amendments that will be that we're going to do that came up late last night, and it is the A. 29 and the A30,
okay.
Which are both House File 2717 and House File 3900 that we are going to remove from the DE.
Okay. And did you want to explain those provisions?
So House A29 removes House File 3900. Mr. Burris, did I get that paired correctly there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kapke, yes.
And so, A29
for that is a fiscal impact.
Yeah, the 3900 has a fiscal impact that would require a way stop that we are not wanting to do that.
Okay. And 2717, I believe there's still some work that needs to be done. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And I know Representative Kraft is working on that. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, with that, you want to take those separately or together?
We can take them separately, Mr. Chair. So I move the A29 amendment.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails. And then the next one?
And Mr. Chair, I move the A30 amendment, which removes House File 2717 from the DE.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion prevails. Okay. Next we have, are we going back in order now?
Mr. Chair, we still have House Amendment A27, which is another removal of the rotary plates from the DE. If we could take that one just to stay.
Okay. And again, this is a fiscal matter?
Yeah, the A27 removes the rotary plates, which we fully intend to have in the budget bill moving forward, but it would require a ways and means stop, and so we're working to get to make that not happen. So A27, Mr. Chair, move the A27 to remove the rotary plates from the bill.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. Okay. A23, is that where we're at?
Yes, Mr. Chair. A23 is a state fair amendment that yourself and Representative Hansen have been working on.
Okay. So. Yes, so this is, I'll move the A23, and this amendment relates to transportation and transit at the state fair. Representative Hansen and I have discussed this since there were some problems with people getting to the fair last year on, excuse me, public transit, and this simply requires a plan to address this in the future. We're taking out the portion of the amendment that requires a 100% increase over last year's level. So that is being removed, but otherwise the amendment stands. And we have Representative Hansen, and we, I think Mr. Bagnoli is here as well. So testifiers to this amendment. My understanding is that there wasn't a lot of controversy with this in the Ag Committee. This was before the Ag Committee and sent to us. So, well, Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, and you may have seen the chair on television at one of his starring moments at the fair as he and I were out there responding to our constituents and many of your constituents about the snags and snarls of transportation to the fair last year. And Minnesotans love the Minnesota State Fair. It is a huge draw and it is growing. And it's in the middle of a residential area. And traffic, transit, transportation issues will continue to grow in challenges. I hear it in my district, you know, the first, second, and third tier suburbs of the feeder system of how do you get to the fair. And with COVID, the fair had to cut back. But it's not just the fair. It's the fair, the Met Council, Ramsey County, City of St. Paul. It's a whole bunch of local governments throughout the metro area and even in greater Minnesota. How do you get people to the fair? So what we're asking for is a plan. And I supported the removing the specific goal on increasing transit. The testimony in the Ag Committee showed that from the fair, and the fair has a plan, and I think that's a good thing. And the fair also testified in committee that it wouldn't cost anything for the fair, because they already have the plan that they're working on. In addition, there was testimony of, I think it was 9 transit hubs that were pre-COVID, and then coming out of COVID it went to 3, and now it's increased to 4. And the challenges are that we just, you know, the fair and the metro transit has difficulty getting people to drive the buses. But there are people who want to bike. There are the ride share challenges as well, where there are places where they're designated to drop off for ride share, but people get dropped off. So you've got just a cluster of things happening around the fair with transportation because people love the fair, both getting into the fair and getting out of the fair. I understand the fair's concerns about precedent setting of the legislature getting involved. But all we're doing here is asking for a plan. And I actually have pretty good confidence on the state fair. I you know, your jurisdiction in relating to transit and relating to transportation, we need that integration to be there looking in the future because it's not just in 2024, it's 2025, 2026. If we add 10,000 Minnesotans a day for those 2 weeks of the fair year after year, you know, what's in the fair, they've got to manage that when people get in the fair. But how do we get people in and out of the fair so it's a pleasurable experience? So I would ask you to support the amendment, keeping the plan in. I think it's important. I understand their concerns, you know, but we hear from our constituents. I'll give you one example. Just after the hearing, I was contacted by not a constituent, somebody from Bloomington, who said, you know, I've always wondered why the buses didn't start earlier, because I like to go to the fair early and then get back. If we had earlier, we could manage that, and I forwarded that to Mr. Schnettman. You know, and so there's that's the type of responses I've been getting from Minnesotans of thank you for the opportunity to at least be talking about this. And I think that's something that, by keeping this in, it keeps that engagement. The discussion we'll have here, you know, I think helps, and I would encourage you to adopt the amendment.
Thank you, Chair Hansen. Mr. Bagnoli.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Joe Bagnoli with Winthrop and Weinstein Law Firm on behalf of the State Agricultural Society, which is the organization that puts on the state fair. And I appreciate, and Representative Hansen is a long, long time state fair goer and participant in the, all of the ag.
A good long time.
He's as a guy who lives in the metro area now, but has deep roots in the rural area, has raised animals and participated in a lot of the 4-H in the past. So he really knows the fair. What I want to make just crystal clear is that the state fair has been working on transportation and has to and from the state fair for probably 40 years. There are at least three full-time people devoted towards the transportation plan that we have. We regularly work with the Metropolitan Council, not just the Metropolitan Council, Southwest providers. The plan includes, I'm not sure if TNCs are going to exist anymore, but TNCs, I think there's over 1,000 bike racks there, motorcycles. I don't know if skateboards are part of it, but pedestrian. Virtually every possible way you can get to the state fair has been accounted for in the current plan, and it continues to evolve. So I just want the committee to understand that and not sort of be left with the idea that absent this legislation, we wouldn't be thinking of it, because we think about it. There are three or four people that think about it every day, communicate with the Metro Council. We are thrilled. We just learned just a minute ago. Just to give you an example of some of the issues that the fair faced last year, there are four streets that are around the state fair: the Snelling, Larpenteur, Cleveland, and Como. Two of those streets, Ramsey County decided to put under construction during the state fair time, which caused an enormous amount of difficulty. As Representative Chair Hansen indicated, Met Council for years had nine park and rides. They went down to three. We went up to four. I was just told today that the hope is to increase those to two to three more this year, which we think will alleviate a lot of the pressure on the fair run lots. In addition to the park and rides that the Metro Transit uses, the fair does 30 to 40 lots around the Twin Cities that are free that we provide housing. Really appreciate the interest. But don't want to leave anyone with the misconception that there is no plan. The plan could always be better, and appreciate the interest and concern. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee about the A23 amendment? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not necessarily a question, but just an encouragement to continue to look at as you get to the suburban providers, they're way outside the area, and Met Council, and I know that they're working and negotiating, trying to figure out how to fund that. Because this is an event-based transportation program, I think the idea that we're going to try to keep the pricing the same for everybody puts a lot more pressure on the revenue sources for some of these suburban providers. Because Greater Minnesota doesn't necessarily want to come downtown to start connecting up. They like staying outside and then riding the bus into the fair, which I do all the time. And I'm willing to pay more in order to have that availability. So I just hope we can keep working on that too, because to me, this isn't as much about the fair as it is about transportation issues. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Other questions or comments? Okay. Chair Hansen, did you have any closing thoughts?
Just ask for your support. I was reminded, Representative Padella and I have a part of Cottage Grove, and the one location there was, I had multiple people contacting me that it was chaos, and because there were people parking in the ditches and on the roadsides and all that because of the drop. So that's one example of the feeder system, and I think that's where, again, the fair does a good job internally and around that fair, but how do we need the plan to bring folks together. So I'd ask for your support. It's a good amendment.
Okay. We will vote on the A23. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, the motion prevails. The A23 is adopted. Thank you, Chair Hansen. Thank you, Mr. Bagnoli. Now we have the A9, Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A9 amendment. What this amendment does is it would make it so that vehicles are no longer able to be towed just for parking tickets when the parking is allowed on the streets. There's still penalties, and if they don't pay, collections can go after them. Wages can be garnished unless they're on public assistance or below 100% poverty level. This proposal is supported by Justice Action Network, Legal Aid, and Fines and Fees at Justice. And there may be somebody who wants to testify to this.
Are there any testifiers? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Chaz Anderson. I'm here representing the Justice Action Network this morning. This amendment is supported. It was part of legislation introduced by Representative Cagle. It's supported by the Justice Action Network, Legal Aid, and the Fines and Fees Justice Center. What this amendment doesn't do, it doesn't change any towing activity related as outlined under Chapter 168. Those activities would still be allowed. It just makes a change that says if you have 5 unpaid parking tickets on your record, not on the car, on your record, that car would not be towed when it is parked for legal purposes. You know, why we are have introduced and pushed this bill is that we have found that the unnecessary loss of vehicle has immediate and negative economic outcomes and can result in job loss, disruptions to childcare or education. We know that 82% of Minnesotans use a car to commute, and 1 out of 3 Minnesotans actually only have 1 vehicle in their household. And so, lastly, that's why we're pushing this legislation. It kind of builds on the work that we did in this committee a couple years ago related to driver's license suspension, as you may recall, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and we really would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Discussion. President Petersburg.
Just a quick question. At what point does collection agencies take a case? Is that with the first ticket or after that? Do we know?
Ms. Anderson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's outlined basically this bill doesn't change anything related to collection of unpaid fines and fees. And basically, there's a couple avenues that could be used. One is revenue recapture, which is the Department of Revenue recapturing tax refunds. The other one is a wage levy or garnishment of wages, bank accounts, or other income. That can be used except for the circumstances as outlined by Representative Cagle. That information is reported by the local municipality to the Department of Revenue, and then that wage levy is issued to the employer to garnish the wage or to the bank on the bank account. The other thing that can be used is filing a lien against the your property.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I understood all of that, but the question is that sometimes the threshold doesn't warrant going through all that cost because it actually costs more than the other. And so oftentimes changing behavior requires a consequence, and this removing that, saying you can have as many parking tickets as you want, you're not going to get towed, is one of those questions that is not going to instill change in people's behavior. Now, if there's another reason why we don't want to ticket and tow cars, that's okay. But this implies that it's only because of the parking tickets, and I'm unclear about that. But it's something that I think we should follow up with later. I'm not going to make a big deal of it. So.
Okay. Any response?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Petersburg, it's my understanding that the local municipalities report that data to the Department of Revenue. So it really would depend on the county or city and their own practices of when they report it.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. All those in favor of the A9 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed. Motion prevails. Now we have another from Representative Cagle, the A21 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the A21 amendment goes to the section that has to do with performance measures. And so working with MnDOT, we tried to make sure that we were still thinking about our infrastructure and roads and the materials that we're using, and just figuring out how we extend the feasibility and long-term benefits of our assets. And then also, one of the things that kind of I've dug into over the past few years, and seeing some of the reports and performance measures, all that kind of stuff, I think we could be doing more. And so what I want to see is what would it cost to make the fixes that we need that are going to last the longest and give us the best return on our investment. And so I really want to see some of that long-term planning along with what that would cost. And then the last line is just making sure that we still have somebody that is signing the reports and that somebody is accountable.
Okay. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Cagle, sounds like you're carrying the mantle for Representative Bernardi, because she and I have been working on issues like this. And thank you for keeping us on task.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Representative Bernardi was my mentor, my first term, so.
And I know she worked for many years on this. Is there anyone that wants to testify on this? Should have been asking for that earlier. Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the A21 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails. Now we have the A13, Representative Sensenmira.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, so on Tuesday we heard this bill in committee. This is the DPS agency bill designed to clarify crash reporting requirements for law enforcement officers after legislation last year inadvertently created some ambiguity, and this language will bring more clarity.
Okay. Discussion? Questions? All right. To the A13, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails. And then we also have the A20 from Representative Sensenmira.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we also heard this bill on Tuesday. This is a DPS agency bill from the Office of Traffic Safety, which would adopt USDOT child passenger restraint guidelines. Most noticeably, this bill creates the first statewide requirements for booster seats, which have been shown to reduce the risk of injury by 45% compared to seat belts alone. This bill is supported by AAA, and I know that Mr. Burris has worked with the agency on kind of cleaning up some of the language. There was a repealer in there that wasn't supposed to be, and so this is the bill we heard on Tuesday but cleaned up.
Okay. Questions? Discussion? Anyone that wants to testify? All right. To the A20. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails. Now, Representative Petersburg, you have an A8 amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a bill that was brought forth by Representative Kristen Robbins in regards to caretaker information when somebody applies for a driver's license that are going to be caretaker, that they that we are taking information for more than three individuals, because some caretakers may have more clients than that. And so this is an opportunity to do that. And it was brought to her by a Girl Scout, and if Representative Robbins is here, I think, to give us more information about it.
Representative Robbins, welcome to the Transportation Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for hearing this. My testifier, McKenna Prevost, is a freshman at Orono High School in my district, and we are desperately trying to get her on the phone so she can share her remarks. We had tried the Zoom link earlier today, and it's networking, so If she is not able, I will start her remarks, and then maybe she can just say a quick hello.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is McKenna Prevost. I'm a freshman at Orono. This amendment is important to me and my family and anyone in Minnesota who has loved ones at home who need to be taken care of. I started working on the caregiver law last year, and it passed. Basically, it allows people to fill out a form when they get their driver's license that will list people under their care that may need someone to check on them if the driver is in an accident. This is important to me and my family because I, being McKenna, have three siblings at home with special needs. If my parents were in a car accident, the police would not know to go check on my siblings. This bill passed last year, and in the first 3 months, over 200 people signed up for the form. The one thing we learned after the law was passed, however, was that the law limits families listing, quote, up to three people under care. Some families have more than that, especially if they have several adopted children with special needs, as my family does, or are caring for children and grandparents. Soon after we realized this form was too limiting, I started working with Rep. Robbins and officials at the Department of Public Safety to get the words up to three removed from the law. Oh, here she is. McKenna? Hello, McKenna? We're still trying. So Department of Public Safety does support this language. Oh, McKenna, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, McKenna. You're in front of the committee. So she knows what she's doing.
All right.
So if you just want to see a few words, I've kind of run through the first, like, page of your testimony. So if you want to stop with why the form wasn't working and the part about soon after we found it was too limiting, that part.
So what do you want me to do?
Oh, sorry. So if you could just start with how we started working to fix the bill. I kind of gave them the background from your testimony. And then when you reached out to me last summer, how we realized the form was too limiting, if you wanted to start there.
Okay.
So on page two there, just if you want to start with soon after.
Okay, so just say, like, we realized this amendment was too limiting or whatever, so I started working with blah, 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 blah.
Yep. She wrote this last night and sent it to me in case we had technical difficulties. Okay, go ahead, honey.
Okay. Oh, so you want me to say it right now?
Yes, we're waiting.
Oh, sorry. Soon after we realized this was too limiting, I started working with Representative Kristen Robbins and officials from the Department of Public Safety to get the words up to three removed from the law to give families more flexibility if they needed it. We also worked on multiple drafts of the form, and I think the new form will work much better for both caregivers and the police who are relying on the information. Once we get this amendment passed, I plan to reach out to other states to encourage them to adopt the Minnesota Caregiver Law. Finally, I'd also like to say a special thank you to Sergeant Pete Eckenberg of the Corcoran Police Department and Bill Hames and Jordan Hull Tofterhide of the Department of Public Safety for their help. Without their assistance, I would have never been able to turn my idea into a law that helps families. Thank you.
That's awesome. So we'll see if they have any questions. Hang on.
Okay.
Any questions for the committee? And thank you so much, McKenna Prevost, for your testimony and your work on this. Everyone can make a difference. Questions from the committee? Representative Cagle.
It took me years how to pronounce his name, and she got it right on the first try.
We have met with him several times.
Okay. All right, members, did you have any closing comments, Representative Robbins?
I just want to thank the committee for hearing this. McKenna worked on this all last year and this year, and it started out as part of a Girl Scout project, and it has become a passion for her, and she does hope this will go to other states. So we appreciate your indulgence in letting her testify. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for including her. Okay. Discussion on the A8. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. Next, we have the A-15, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to offer the A-15 at this point. This is a bill that we heard in committee before in regards to the sugar beet hauling during just a seasonal time of harvesting for sugar beets up in the Fargo-Moorhead area. And it really is very specific to a very small portion of the road, but it will make a big impact on both cost and I think ultimately safety of it. I do know that there's still some ongoing work that's being done with it, and so at this point I'm going to withdraw the amendment, hoping that we can work something up, maybe get something on the floor, but at this point I'm going to withdraw the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Representative Petersburg. And we also now have the A-19 amendment, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is another amendment to the drivable aircraft that is there, in which this here, and Mr. Burris can clarify this, this really clarifies the fact that this doesn't have to be classified as a motorcycle, so that you don't need a motorcycle endorsement also on your license in order to drive this on the vehicle. And I think that's primarily the part of it that's in this bill. And Mr. Burris, if he would be willing to clarify any other corrections.
Mr. Chair and members, that is the main substantive change, to eliminate the requirement of a motorcycle endorsement. The amendment also contains a couple other technical modifications and clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Comments or questions? Okay, Vice Chair Tapke.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and I just encourage everyone to support the A-19.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. All right. Is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify? We're done with the amendment process.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Petersburg.
I would like to offer the A-14 as well.
Oh, sorry.
In regards to construction materials, and I sent a letter out to everybody. I will also be withdrawing it so that we don't have to take it up, because that also is one of those that is being worked on. We're getting more and more buy-in to it once we understand that this really is about ability for us to provide cheaper transportation costs for some of these construction materials for that. And so I will be withdrawing it, but you'll see a letter in there from Representative Torkelson and Chair Newman from the Senate when this bill was passed in 2017, clarifying the intent of legislation at that time, so that this wasn't intended to be the department to try to figure out which load of cement powder is going to go for construction of roads versus whether it goes for construction of a house, because that's a monumental task that really wasn't intended for it. So that's the bill, and that's the amendment that I have. But like I said, we have people that are working on that, trying to get, shall we say, peace in the valley. So I'll be withdrawing that amendment as well.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Petersburg. With that, are there other questions? I believe Commissioner Dobenberger would like to make some comments. Mr. Dobenberger, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Nancy Dobenberger, and I'm honored to serve as the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Transportation. On behalf of MnDOT, I'd like to thank the committee for including all of the agency's policy proposals and trunk highway bond corrections in the omnibus bill. And thank you, Vice Chair Tabke, for authoring House File 3436. We recognize and appreciate the impact that the trunk highway bond corrections will have on ensuring those local projects will receive funding as intended from last session's omnibus transportation bill. Other agency policy provisions included in this bill will help ensure that the state take advantage of federal funds to build out our network of EV chargers, while also helping the agency increase the number of prime contracts awarded to targeted group business or firms owned by veterans.
The bill also makes several changes aligning state and federal statutes, updating state statute to reflect modern driving practices, and removing obsolete terms. In total, these changes help MnDOT operate more efficiently and better serve the people of Minnesota. So thank you for your time and again for including these provisions in your omnibus policy bill. With that, I stand for questions.
Any questions of the commissioner? Okay. Thank you very much for your work on this and your staff's work on
thank the bill. You.
All right, members. I do not see any additional testifiers listed. Is there anyone else from the audience that wishes to testify? Hey, Vice Chair Tabke, any closing comments?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And
Good. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before the final comments, I just wanted to say to Representative Tabke how hard I know that you worked on trying to put together a very bipartisan bill. I know we've had a lot of discussions and trying to work out things that are the best for all sides. And, Mr. Chair, I know you've been working on it, too. So I just want to say thank you. I think this is the way we should work on legislation. It's important for us to spend time talking with each other. So thank you for that.
All right. With that, closing comments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for those kind words, Lee Petersburg. I just appreciate everybody's work on this. I know there was a lot of moving parts getting us to where we're at, and so everyone, staff, Matt, Andy, and Kyle, and Tenzin have all done just an amazing amount of work on getting us to this point. And I just really appreciate everyone working together and getting us there. So with that, Mr. Chair, renew my motion that House File 3436, as amended, be referred to the General Register and granting nonpartisan staff permission to make technical changes as they deem necessary.
All right. So the motion, again, is that House File 3436, as amended, be referred to the General Register.
Excuse me?
And give House nonpartisan staff permission to make technical changes as they deem necessary. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, the motion prevails. And you are on your way to the General Register, Representative Tabke. Thank you.
Everyone.
And I, on a personal note, want to thank you as well for your hard work on this and attempting to reach consensus, and then we'll be beginning next week, we'll be starting to tackle some of the fiscal issues that the committee will be dealing with, and cleaning up some of the other things that we were hoping to get into this bill. So with that, members, we are adjourned, and see you next week.